You gotta let the fight song go. Well, what a weekend. As I joked about earlier in the show, it was as if the Bears auto-drafted in their fantasy football. And they're like, what? I got six tight ends? Oh, I better hit the waiver wire. That's how it felt. A lot of movement, which I can't tell if that's a good thing or a bad thing when it comes to a team in the final week of preparation before the regular season begins. But I know somebody who does. Doug Plank, of course, our regular contributor here to the download, famous number 46 and an NFL analyst. Doug, thanks for joining us, buddy. I know it's Tuesday.
No. You know what? Everybody, I think everybody, even on the football team, is anxious to find out just who are the Bears this weekend.
Yeah, is it what do you look at? I mean, is it a good thing or a bad thing that they made all these changes in one day when other players came available on the waiver wire?
You know, I just kind of chuckled when I saw everybody get up in front of the reporters and talk about all the great talent that was secured and, you know, at the last minute, you know, in spite of other people trying for it. To my evaluation, I think a whole bunch of activity right at the very end of training camp is not good. I mean, there are some times, I guess, that you can possibly pick up some very gifted players. But, you know, just like anything else, I've been on plenty of teams that we let go very gifted players physically, but there were other issues that really nobody wants to talk about, you know, whether it's locker room issues, just pettiness in terms of or even behavior issues, which potentially might bring some harm onto the team later on. So I'm not saying that's what happened here with the Chicago Bears, but, you know, I wouldn't be too quick to be picking up players, you know, and then acting like, geez, we got everything in place now. This was such a great thing to happen to us. You know, we're really lined up to get on and play the Texans.
All right, so let's talk about what they did. I mean, obviously, the big news here in Chicago is Robbie Gould, the kicker, who has served so admirably. I made a joke at the beginning of the show, too. Remember when we were worried that someone would miss a kick? Like that was not the thing with Robbie Gould. For so many years, he was just money. He's faltered later in his career, and I didn't know this, but he was the most expensive kicker in the NFL. Were you surprised by the move to cut Robbie Gould, or is that just the way the NFL works these days?
I think, you know, kickers especially, when they start getting older towards the end of their career, I don't think there's any sympathy. And, you know, let's face it. I mean, everything about the business of being in the National Football League is about money. You know, it's not about even how good the player is. It's how much money the player can bring to the football team, you know, through his wins, through his behavior, you know, through endorsements, all those sort of things. I'm not saying it's all follow the money, but, you know, the reality is when you're in a professional sport, the best way to generate revenue is to win games and get players that are talented and that have gifts that can go out there and make big plays. And I think the combination of what happened last year to Robbie, as far as in some of the games that he missed key situations, games that would have won, kicks that would have won the game for the Chicago Bears, and then you couple it with a really inconsistent preseason, and I think that's the reason why he's not on the team.
All right, let's talk about the other big, I guess the big news is Josh Sitton, the Green Bay offensive lineman. The guard comes to Chicago after the Packers let him go. Now, they had him at $5 million a year, and they kind of intimated that maybe this was about money, cost-cutting, because they had someone behind him that wasn't getting paid as much. The Bears quickly paid him $7 million a year. He's getting paid more. Is the guy worth it? What do we know about him? He's a Pro Bowler. I mean, does he fit the scheme? And is he the kind of guy that we're going to be looking for big things out of here in Chicago?
Well, I think, you know, certainly their quarterback hopes he's still have something left. Jay, I think, you know, he was excited about having Josh Sitton come in.
Yeah, right.
You know, I think he's been a good football player in the past. You know, I think he's got good fundamentals. I don't know what his health situation is, what his durability is. You know, obviously there's a reason why a team lets him go. I mean, maybe the Packers have incredible depth on the offensive line. I just think, you know, I've always said, you know, being a defensive back, I really feel like, you know, it's what happens on the line of scrimmage that really dictates your failure or success. And I think for any success to take place for the Bears this year, they have to have a solid front offensive line. And I think Josh Sitton could be a big part of that. It just gives you an idea, though, what the Packers must have if they're letting a guy like him go. And, you know, I think really the offensive line is going to be the key to success or failure this year for the Bears because, you know, if they can't protect their quarterback and give him an opportunity to distribute the ball, they're going to be in big trouble.
Well, he's going to be out by game three. We're going to be looking for Jimmy Clausen off the waiver wire. All right, so I'm interested in that. How, you know, from your vantage point from playing the game, last year the Chicago Bears moved Kyle Long at the last minute to from right to left, left to right. This year they're doing the same thing by slotting Josh Sitton in. There's talk about Cody Whitehair getting under center. I mean, how easy is it for these big guys to be able to move positions, to be able to go from the left side to the right side how hard is it for them to do that the last minute?
Justin, it sounds like it would be very easy. It's only a matter of a few feet, you know, as far as on the position on the offensive line. But I can only tell you, it's like night and day playing different positions. It looks the same when you're watching it on television or you're sitting in a seat down at Soldier Field. I'm telling you right now, though, from a player's perspective, it is totally different. You start getting towards the outside of that line and you're picking up defensive ends and even linebackers coming off the edge, it's a whole different ball game than just being on the inside at the guard position. And, you know, the other thing is it's who you got, who you have playing next to you also. You know, there's not really much time to start, you know, knowing what the guy next to you is going to do. You know, one of the great things that I had as a Chicago Bear was having Gary Fensick right next to me as a strong safety. I knew where Gary was going to be. I knew what he was going to do. Even if I missed a play or whatever, I knew what he was going to cover up for me. You know, you get in the offensive line like this, and you have a lot of new players and new faces, you get back to that huddle, I tell you, it's not that feeling of confidence. Like, wow, we are all going to work together under any circumstance. We're going to know what each other does. And, you know, I just look at even the first game they're going up against, the Houston Texans. You know, and they have a very, very impressive defensive line. I mean, we're going to find out real fast just what – this offensive line is made up.
And J.J. Watt is going to play, they said. And the Houston Texans, from I know a little bit about the Houston Texans from Hard Knocks. Not going to lie to you, last year's HBO show. But the Houston Texans, I mean, they're bringing Brock Osweiler in, who, you know, the Bears saw against Denver last year and should have beat the Broncos in that game. But you know, Danny Trevathan is on the other side of the ball this week, and there seemed John Fox knows a little bit about Brock Osweiler. Do you feel like there's any sort of competitive advantage the guys that have played with Osweiler and know him and, you know, are part of the guys that drafted him that are available or are part of the other side of the sideline?
You know what's funny? You know, especially in situations where players play against each other, the coaching staff will get that player aside, you know, and say, is there anything that could hurt us? Is there any calls? Is there any plays? Is there any favoritisms, you know, that you want to do or he would know about in terms of calls or anything like that? So it's really a question and answer situation by the coaching staff so that they get into a game situation and they are going to try to do everything they can to make sure that if he thinks he knows what you do, how you do things, how you throw, all that sort of thing, you know, it's going to be a situation where they're going to purposely, you know, throw what a wrench into the quagmire, so to speak, and make sure that there is no advantage in terms of anticipating what one player is going to do just from a past experience. So I think it's going to be a really, really interesting matchup. And I think it's really, really going to tell a lot about the Chicago Bears and just what their capacity is, you know, in terms of just being able to hold up against this Houston line, which has, you know, Clowney and Cushing, and you mentioned J.J. Watt, McKinney. I mean, those guys, they're experienced, and they know how to get to the quarterback.
All right, so let's talk about the Houston Texans. I mean, obviously last year they went to the playoffs, but they had a mediocre season. They either finished 9-7 or 8-8 for whatever it was in that terrible AFC South, I guess it is. But talk about this team. I mean, is this a team? What do the Bears have to worry about when it comes to the Houston Texans?
Well, you know, it's not a team that they play very often, so it's not one of those things like, oh yeah, we know exactly what they're going to do. I do think they have more veterans on their football team. You know, I think that's a huge plus, especially early in the season. And it's okay to have rookies and young players And, but you know, the fact is, when you have a large changeover in your football team, I mean, you look at the Bears draft this year, I think everybody that was drafted except one made the team. So it gives you an indication of just, you know, the youth and the change of roster that's going to be on the Chicago Bears team. This is a team that's never really played together, you know, in terms of the bulk of the lineup. So, you know, is there going to be some learning experiences and all that sort of thing? And I think most importantly, like I said, for Jay Cutler, I think he's going to try to find out how good this offensive line is, what kind of routes can he call, and where can he throw the football to guys that are dependable, that can catch the ball and continue to pick up first downs.
All right, so as we think about this game, I got it for a win. I think they're going to beat the Texans. I think they're going to run the table. They're going to be 14-2. but you know, the dynamics change in the NFC North. Teddy Bridgewater goes down. The Vikings now have a lot of question marks at that position. The Packers, of course, are the gold standard in the league and in the division. But the Bears' chances look a little bit. Are you a little bit more optimistic about what the Bears might be able to do this season because of that injury?
There's no doubt. I mean, Bridgewater, he was a quality quarterback, and whether you liked him or not, I mean, he maybe not had the strongest arm in the league, but you know, that wasn't his assets. I mean, he was quick. He could get rid of the ball very fast. You could tell that he really meshed with their offense. You know, he really created some different looks for the defense. I really believe that with that injury, the Chicago Bears should slip into at least a preseason prognosis in terms of, you know, behind Green Bay. You know, I think that they've got a good enough team, you know, especially because of what happened at the quarterback position for Minnesota. The Chicago Bears are going to be able to take advantage of that. And I think that, you know, it's going to be really difficult for the Vikings now. You know, you have a guy that's been so productive and so well-liked by Bridgewater, and then all of a sudden he's gone. And I'll tell you what, it's a huge absence. And I know they're struggling up there trying to make all the pieces fit. It's a matter of, you know, the Bears have to, you know, come to play. They have to protect. The offensive line is a huge challenge in terms of protecting the quarterback. And let's face it, the defense, you know, they've got to start shining and start being more physical and more like what everyone expects out of a Chicago Bear defense.
CBS Sports today did their preseason rank for the Bears. They had the Bears in the power ranking 31st out of 32 teams. Where do you see this Bears team? What's your preview as this will be the last time we talk to you before they kick off on Thursday, and then also, of course, the Bears on Sunday? What do you see the Bears finishing out? Do you think they have any chance whatsoever to compete for a playoff position?
You know, it all depends on, you know, how those records all fit. You know, as far as I don't think they're going to win the division. You know, I think then it gets down to a wild card choice. You know, they still have a number of injuries, you know, that, you know, have slowed them down. I mean, you just start looking even, you know, with Pernell McPhee and, you know, having knee surgery and, you know, there's just a lot of guys. I mean, their pass rush should be significantly better. You know, I think Leonard Floyd, certainly a very fast kid, young, Willie Young. I mean, they got some good guys that can rush the quarterback. I like their linebackers. I think their linebacker corps is very physical and it's very sound. You know, their secondary, I thought, improved as the season went on. But I think, you know, the Bears are probably looking at, you know, around a 500 season again. You know, I would think, you know, somewhere around 8-8. The thing is, you know, as I said before, you know, the one thing that they got to flip the stakes on are what they do at Soldier Field. You know,
that
1-7
last year,
that last year, it doesn't get it done. And, you know, now you had two more exhibition losses to it. You know, those fans are going to come frustrated early in the season.
Doug Plank, Mr. Number 46, thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you Monday after the Bears beat the Texans on their route to being 14-2.
Yes, go Bears.
All right, Doug, thanks.
I'm looking forward to it. Thanks, Justin.